Verse 10 of Ruth chapter 2. We've touched on the words of this verse in the past. We use it as our text for this evening as we deal with the abounding grace of God. For there in verse 10 we read about Ruth. And she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, unto Boaz, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? After Boaz had dealt so graciously with Ruth, and with such kindness, we see that in this verse 10, that Ruth was completely overcome. When she considered the grace of Boaz, we're told that Ruth fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground, indicating that she was completely overcome by the grace of Boaz. Like those who have been overcome when they have considered the grace of the Lord Jesus in their lives. You turn to Luke chapter 17. And here we have a perfect example of this. In Luke 17 and verse 15, regarding the cleansing of the 10 lepers, we read in verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. This leper had been healed by the Lord, healed by the grace of Christ, and he was completely overcome by what the Lord had done for him. Likewise, Ruth was overcome when she considered the gracious way that Boaz had dealt with her, and she said, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me? She's saying, Lord, or saying, Boaz, why would you take knowledge of me? Someone who is a stranger in the land, someone who's from the country of Moab, someone who's a Gentile, why would you take knowledge of me? Why have I found grace in thine eyes? She's overcome. When she considered this, not only is she overcome, she's overwhelmed. She just could not take it in that Boaz would be so gracious to her. And does not the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ not overwhelm us at times? Why should we, above all the sons of Adam's fallen race, have such love and kindness and mercy and grace extended to us? Why should the Lord choose us to be his own, to be his bride, when we noted last week there was nothing good in us, no loveliness, no beauty to be found in us at all? Yet he wanted us for his bride, to be a member in his church. Does that not overwhelm us betimes? Stuart K. Hine has captured that truth in his wonderful hymn, How Great Thou Art. For in the third verse of that hymn, we have these words, And when I think that God, his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. I scarce can take it in. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God to thee, how great thou art. How great thou art. And considering the grace of the Lord in our lives, it would certainly overwhelm us. And we say with Mr. Hine, I scarce can take it in. She was overcome. She was overwhelmed. And she was overjoyed. Was there not the sense of gratitude and joy in the heart of Ruth when she spoke these words, whenever she said, Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, saying, I am but a stranger? She's overjoyed that someone like Boaz, a man, a mighty man of wealth, to take knowledge of some poor widow like Ruth. The apostle was full of joy when he spoke about God's grace. Ephesians 1 verse 6, he said, To the praise of the glory of his grace, to the praise of the glory of his grace wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. To the praise of the glory of his grace. And Paul was praising the Lord for the grace of God in his life. And what the grace of God had done for him. Grace, 'tis charming sound, harmonious to the ear. Heaven with the echo shall resound. And all the earth shall hear. Saved by grace alone. This is all my plea. Jesus died for sinful men, and we can say tonight, Jesus died for me. Does that not fill our hearts with joy? Does it not overwhelm us at times? Are we not overcome by the thought of the grace of God in our lives? Now we look at verse 13. Then she said, Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaids. Let me find favor. The word favor is the same word for grace. She has already experienced the grace of Boaz. Now she's asking for more grace. And we thank the Lord that we can always go to him for more grace. That's what we want to consider tonight, the abounding grace of God. Because God's grace has abounded toward us, and we will never exhaust the grace of God. And whatever our need is, whatever problem we face, whatever difficulty we face, we can go to the Lord and ask the Lord for more grace. For grace to help us solve that problem. For grace to help us meet that difficulty. God's grace is limitless. First of all, we want to consider Boaz and the deeds of Ruth. Boaz had been informed about the deeds of Ruth. There in verse 11, Boaz answered and said unto her, "It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother, and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore." And so Boaz speaks about what he had been told about Ruth. For he says, "It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done." So we find that Boaz was fully aware of the deeds of this woman called Ruth. He had been informed. But our Boaz doesn't need to be informed about anything that we have done, because he is omniscient. He knows all things, and he knows everything about us, as we read in Psalm 139. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. So the Lord knows all about us. Boaz, first of all, knew all about Ruth's service. He was made aware of the service she had rendered unto Naomi. We just read there in verse 3. She had cared for Naomi after the death of her husband, and she himself had lost her own husband. Yet she displayed a kind, loving, caring spirit as she attended to the needs of her grieving mother-in-law, even though she herself was suffering at the time. But what we should note here is that this service that Ruth rendered was service that she had rendered at home. There you have her conduct. Boaz doesn't speak about exploits Ruth may have carried out in the country of Moab. He doesn't speak about her service outside her home. But he speaks about what Ruth had done and the faithful service rendered at home in the house where Naomi lived. And believer, this reminds us that as Christians, we are, first of all, to serve the Lord at home. That's where our service for the Lord must begin. Once again, we make mention of Legion. He wanted to go with the Lord, and the Lord said, "Go home." He's just been delivered. The demons have been cast out. He has been healed. He has been clothed. He has been brought back to his right mind. And the Lord said to him, "You go home." First place, the very first place he was the witness for the Lord was home. And he said, "Go home to thy friends and tell them." Tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Go home and tell them about the grace of God in your life. That's where it was to begin. And you see, believer, we don't need to be called to a foreign field in order to be engaged in the service of the Lord. We can serve the Lord at home. There's a mission field for us at home. Not only do you have her conduct, you also have her care, because that's what Boaz was speaking about. Just by simply being at home and caring for Naomi, this was all noted by Boaz. So the Lord is aware of what we are at home, what we do at home. He knows what we are at home. Boaz knew what Ruth was at home. The Lord knows what we are at home. You see, a man can appear to be an angel before his friends, but he can be a devil at home. He can be a true gentleman when dealing with his fellows, but he can be a monster at home. None of that was true with regard to Ruth. She had a caring spirit. She had a caring heart. That was evident in the way she looked after Naomi. Remember, Ruth had her own troubles, losing her husband, but still she maintained that sweet, caring spirit. And it was evident at home. Shows us how we can serve the Lord at home. Proverbs 31. Speak about the virtuous woman. And when you look at those verses in Proverbs 31, you find that this virtuous woman had a good witness at home. Verse 10 of Proverbs 31, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Look at verse 15. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household. That's home. And a portion to her maidens. Verse 21. She is not afraid of the snow for her household. For all her household are clothed with scarlet. Verse 27. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. A lot had to do with what this woman was at home. She looked after her household. She cared for those who were at home. Boaz was aware of how Ruth behaved and conducted herself at home. And our Boaz knows all about our service at home. Yes, he knows about the service of our missionaries. He knows all about what Margaret Russell's doing in Kenya and the Reverend Lopp's doing in Kenya. And what our other missions are doing in other parts of the world. He's aware of that. He knows that. But he also knows the service we render to our household at home. Boaz had been informed about her service, and he'd also been informed about her sacrifice. For in that verse 11, Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity. There's her sacrifice. She should left the country of Moab, and in so doing should left mother and father. She left the remains of her husband there too. She left the land of her nativity. We ought to note why and the reason behind this sacrifice that Ruth made. If you go back to chapter 1 and verse 16. And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God." That's why. That was why Ruth made this sacrifice. Because she had come to know the Lord God of Israel. And while Ruth thanked Boaz for the grace he had shown to her, the fact that Ruth had accepted the God of Israel as her God and then left the country of Moab and come out of that country of false gods and made her way to Bethlehem, Judah, shows the grace of God in her life. Surely she could not have made those sacrifices without the grace of God in her life. Leaving father and mother in the land of her nativity, and going to a place and to a people that she didn't know heretofore. And you think of our missionaries again, and they go off to far off lands. It takes grace. It takes grace to turn your back on mother and father and homeland and go to a far off land. That takes grace. And evidently the Lord had given Ruth grace to do that very thing. And what Ruth did was the actions of a true disciple of the Lord, a true follower of the Lord, as we noted this morning. Matthew 16, verse 24. The Lord said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Mark that little word. Deny. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Isn't that what Ruth did? When she made the God of Israel her God, she denied herself. She put God first. The word deny is a strong word. It means to deny utterly. In other words, Ruth was not going to live anymore for self. She was going to live for God. And so she utterly denied self. And that included leaving behind father, mother, and the land of her nativity. She sacrificed relatives, residents, and religion. Because she abandoned the old religion of Moab. And she made the God of Israel her God. That's what true discipleship is. The denial of self. No longer living for self. To turn, please, to Matthew 10. Again, the words of the Savior. Matthew 10, verse 37. "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Three times the Lord said it. Ruth was indeed a true disciple. She loved the Lord more than anyone or anything. Regarding her deeds, we have seen Ruth's service and Ruth's sacrifice. We notice also Ruth's separation. There's something else that takes grace. Separation. Boaz said to her, "Thou art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore." In other words, Ruth had separated from the people she did know before, namely the people of Moab, who worshipped false gods. And she came and joined herself to a people who worshipped the one true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. These were the people she joined herself unto, separating from the people of Moab who worshipped a false god. In other words, Ruth, when she came to know the God of Israel, then she separated from the false gods, the false religion, and those who worshipped the gods of Moab. That takes grace. She knew that she could not serve two masters. If she had made the God of Israel her God, then she couldn't abide in a place where other gods were worshipped. She could not continue in that religion. That would be a kind of a mongrel religion. There's only one master, one God, and Ruth was determined to serve him, which meant separation. Matthew 6, verse 24, the Lord said, regarding serving of two masters, the Lord says, "For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one, despise the other." It can't be done. Therefore, she had to separate from the false religion and the false gods of Moab. Dear Christian, as true believers, as true Christians, as true disciples of the Lord, we must be prepared to separate ourselves unto the Lord, our God, our King, our Master. We cannot serve two masters. The Lord has told us, "For one is your Master, even Christ." Matthew 23, verse 8. The Lord is telling us, one is your Master, even Christ. And as his children, and as his servants, and as his disciples, we must serve him. And wherever he is, that's where we must be. We noted that this morning. That means separation. Hebrews 13, verse 13. Paul said to the Hebrew believers, "Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach." Let us go forth therefore unto him. In other words, the Lord is the one who's outside the camp. He's outside the camp of false religion. He's outside the camp of compromise. He's outside the camp of apostasy. He's outside the camp of ecumenism. That's where the Lord is. The Lord is not in these dead apostate churches that are scattered throughout our land in these days. The Lord is not there. Yet we think of many professing Christians and they're still sitting in old dead churches tonight. Well, not tonight because they probably don't have a service at night. But they sit in dead churches and they sit under the ministry of a man who perhaps doesn't even know the Lord. I've seen that multiplied time and time and time again. We lived in Tandragee after, well, before and after we got saved, after we got married. We attended an Anglican church. The minister there was Archdeacon Mays. Archdeacon Mays was not a saved man. He didn't know a thing about the new birth. He denied the miracles of Christ. He didn't believe in the miracles of Christ. He didn't believe in the inspiration of Scripture. And yet when some of our men out of the Free Church in Tandragee held an open air, they held an open air every Saturday night on the top of the town, there were people out of that man, Mez's church, and they would come and stand with us in the open air. And they were Christians. And they were God's people. And yet, where did they worship on the Lord's Day? In a place where a man who stood in the pulpit in his long flowing robes, who didn't know the Lord. Who denied the authority and the inspiration of Scripture. And when my wife's aunt asked him one day, she had come under conviction, and she asked him one day how she could be saved. You know what he said? He went into another home, the home of a relative, and said that woman needs her head examined. She needs mental treatment. That's what that man said. She needs mental treatment because she had asked him how she could be saved. That's the truth. I'm telling you the truth. And yet there are Christians and they sit under the ministry of such individuals. False prophets. Preaching a false gospel, Paul says, which is not a gospel. What should those believers have done? Separate. Separate. Get out. Stay out. And speak out. That's what the Bible teaches. And I've heard the argument, I don't know how many times, from those who are Christians and they stay in dead churches like the one I've described, and you tell them the Bible says you need to get out, and they say, well, this was the church of my father, this was the church of my grandparents, this church has always been the church of my family, how can I leave? Well, Ruth left mother and father in the land of her nativity. She separated from the land of false gods and false worship. And she made her way to Bethlehem, Judah, and she made her way to be part of a people who worship the one true God. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him. See, Lord's outside. Do you notice that? The Lord is outside the camp. The Lord is not in these dead churches where His name is denied, where His word is contradicted, where men occupy pulpits that don't believe the book, don't believe the efficacy and the value and the virtue of the blood. They don't believe in the new birth. They don't believe in the virgin birth. They don't believe in the miracles of Christ. They don't believe in His bodily resurrection. Try to explain it all away. The list goes is endless. And Ruth did what God has commanded all Christians to do. Let us go forth, therefore, unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach. You know that when the Free Church started on the 17th of March, 1951, men left the apostasy of the Irish Presbyterian Church, and the first Free Presbyterian Church was formed in Crossgar on the 17th of March 1951. They separated because the Down Presbytery, representing the churches in that area, would not permit the man to have Dr. Paisley have a 3-week gospel campaign. And so the elders in that church got out. They separated. And on that Lord's Day morning that they separated, they marched through the town of Crossgar with placards, making it known to all the townspeople that they were getting out of the Irish Presbyterian Church because of its apostasy, because of its denial of the preaching of the gospel. And the townspeople come out and hurled abuse at those elders and others who joined them. And I'm told that by the time they reached the place where they were having their first meeting, from the collar of their coat to the tail of the coat was covered in spittles. They were bearing the reproach. Let us go forth therefore unto Him outside the camp, bearing His reproach. They did it for the Lord. That's what Ruth did. She did it for the Lord. And may we be prepared to take our stand for the Lord outside the camp as well. Always. We thank the Lord that here in this church, that's where we are. We're outside the camp. That's where we intend to stay by God's grace. That leads us now to consider Boaz and his desires for Ruth. Boaz expressed what he desired for Ruth the Moabitess in verse 12. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. It was his desire. For he says, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee. You notice, that was Boaz's prayer. That was the prayer he offered. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel. That was his prayer. Boaz, as we have already noted, was a man who spoke much about the Lord. We see that in the verse 4. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. And then in the verse we have just read, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel. But you notice in both those references, Boaz had offered a prayer. Because he came to the reapers and he said, the Lord be with thee. What was he praying for? For the reapers, he was praying for the Lord's presence. The Lord be with thee. And then when he said to Ruth, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee. He was praying for the prosperity of the Lord. He wanted Ruth to prosper. That's what he was praying about. And there's Boaz, and he prayed for the reapers, and he prayed for Ruth. But sure, we have one who prays for us. Our Boaz is always praying for us. Our Boaz is always offering up petitions on our behalf. Listen to what he said. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. You mark that. The Lord Jesus said, I pray not for the world. I pray for them. I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Just reading those words would touch your heart, wouldn't it? The great King of heaven, the Lord Jesus says, I pray for them. It's an encouragement when someone says to us in our time of trouble, I'll be praying for you. How much more of an encouragement is it when the Lord Jesus says, I pray for them. He prays for his people. And he prays for us. And he prays that we will have and enjoy God's best. What was the best thing God ever did for us? He gave us the gift of salvation. And how well the Lord has made us to prosper. We're not talking about silver and gold. We're talking about prospering us spiritually. He has given us the gift of salvation, that which money cannot buy. And the Lord was saying, I pray for them. And he was praying for those who would believe on his name. Means he was praying for us. Because there was a day when we believed in his name. And the Lord's Prayer was answered. The Lord's Prayer was answered the day that we were saved. Because the Lord prayed for us. And for our salvation. What Boaz desired for Ruth was that she would also claim the prize. Because of what service she had rendered, the sacrifice she had made, the separated stand she had taken, Boaz says, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord of Israel, the Lord God of Israel. Boaz believed that Ruth would be well rewarded for what she had done, for her faithfulness in service, in sacrifice, and in separation. The Lord God reward thee. That word reward is a word that means wage. The Lord God give you a wage. The Lord God will repay you. And so you see, it doesn't matter what we do for the Lord. And we may not get payment for that work that we do for the Lord, but the Lord will make sure He pays us. He rewards us. He will give us a wage for service rendered. And you know something, you can be sure the Lord will pay you well. He will pay you in full. In Matthew 10, we read Matthew chapter 10 and verse 40. He that receiveth you receiveth me. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. The Lord will reward his people. Isn't that good to know? In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 11, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which are before you. Don't worry, the Lord will reward you. Let us go forth unto him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. And when we take a strong stand for the Lord, and we go outside the camp, and maybe we're called upon to stand alone, have no fear. The Lord sees it all, and the Lord will reward us. Praise his name, and he'll reward us well. Great will be your reward in heaven. We press on quickly and we notice her place. Here Boaz speaks about where Ruth stood in relation to the Lord. A full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. That speaks of Ruth's security. Just like the little chicks that run under the wings of the mother hen in times of danger. And they just disappear under her wings. And they feel secure. Well, Ruth, Boaz said, had come to trust the Lord. And she was abiding safely under his wings. Speaks of her security. It's interesting. Mark this. That phrase, under his wings or under whose wings, is found 7 times in the Old Testament. 7 times. I'll give you the references. Psalm 17, verse 8. Psalm 36, verse 7. Psalm 57, verse 1. Psalm 61, verse 4. Psalm 63, verse 7. Psalm 91, verse 4. And Ruth 2 and verse 12. Now we know, by now, what the number seven means. Number seven means completeness, perfection. And you see, Christian, when we abide under the shadow of the Almighty, we are completely safe. We have perfect security in Christ. Under His wings I am safely abiding. Though the night deepens and tempests are wild, still I can trust Him. I know He will keep me. He has redeemed me and I am His child. Under His wings, who from His love can sever? Under His wings my soul shall abide, safely abide forever. In the last place, and briefly, you have Boaz and the delight of Ruth. For verse 13, then she said, let me find favour in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like one of thine handmaids. She's speaking once again about grace. And the grace of Boaz. First of all, you have her plea. She says, let me find favour, or let me find grace in thy sight, my Lord. She had already experienced the grace of Boaz. But now she's praying again, let me find grace in thine eyes. She needs more grace. She had grace for the past, and grace for the present. She needed grace for the future. Just like you and I. We need grace as we face each day. We need grace as we perform each duty. We need grace to face each difficulty. We need grace to overcome each disappointment. And grace that is asked for is grace that will be given. He giveth more grace when the burdens are greater. He sendeth more strength when the labours increase. To added affliction He addeth His mercy, to multiplied trials His multiplied peace. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of the infinite riches in Jesus He giveth and He giveth and He giveth. And we could go on saying He giveth again. Whatever problem you face, whatever need you have, whatever difficulty you come up against, whatever disappointment you experience, ask the Lord for grace. Because you see, the Lord gives the grace when you need it. And I often think of the martyrs and the men who knew they were going to be burned at the stake. And a date was set for their martyrdom. You put yourself in their position. Knowing that, let's say, Friday of this week, you're going to be put to death. And it'll be a horrifying death. You'll be burned at the stake. You'll be burned to death. How will you face that? How will you get through that? Well, for the martyrs, when the day came, the Lord gave grace. The grace wasn't given Wednesday or Thursday, but the grace would be given on the Friday, just when it's needed. Let me find favour, let me find grace in thine eyes. Abounding grace. You find there in that verse 13 her praise. she gives thanks. And she also mentions her position. For she says, "For that thou hast comforted me, for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid." Those words, "thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid," mean "thou hast spoken to my heart." We could expand that whole verse. The Lord comforts us. And when the Lord speaks to us, He speaks to the heart. How often has the Lord's word touched our hearts? And she spoke about her position, for she says, "Though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens, I'm just a stranger. I'm a foreigner. I'm from the country of Moab." And yet, Boaz had comforted her, had befriended her, had spoken to her heart, had been good to her, had been gracious. Just like the Lord. And there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. One who has often spoken to the heart. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts this evening. Let us pray. O Lord our God and eternal Father, we bless Thee for the word. For the word that brings Christ before us. Gives us a fresh view of Him. O Lord, when we look into the Word, may we always be looking for Him. Him whom our soul loveth. Lord, write this Word upon all of our hearts. May we rejoice in the One who has spoken friendly unto us, spoken to our hearts. We thank Thee, Lord, again for Thy grace. Give us grace, Lord, for each day. Now be with us as we part the one from the other. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be our portion now and forevermore. Amen.